our two- and four-legged listeners. Welcome to What the Bark, and I'm Nathan. I'm here with Genetic George. Hi, George.
Hey, Nathan.
And we are back again with a very special pocket-sized episode of What the Bark, another episode all about DNA testing, following on from our very successful series about color and coat type. This week, we're going to be debunking the myths around DNA testing and specifically parentage.
Yeah, debunking the myths, that's a good... And, you know, we're keeping them pocket size. So if we had to sort of think of a breed, Nathan, that we consider to be pocket size, but, you know, got a bit of grunt behind that.
Well, it's like the Chihuahua size podcast.
Yeah, you know, off all those, you know, pocket bully or short bully people out there, you know, if they're listening, hey, good to... I hope they are. You know, have you heard of the short bully or the pocket bully?
I haven't.
Oh, maybe we keep it for another topic, but anyone listening out there. So we're going to talk about DNA profiling / fingerprinting.
Yeah. And this is a question you get asked a lot about. You know, we often build topics around things that you get asked a lot from breeders.
And people usually go, Nathan, what's that color thing or all those letters and numbers you have on the bottom of your report? Mm. Well, that's what a DNA profile fingerprint is. It's all these letters that consist of four letters. Do you think you can guess what those four letters might be, Nathan, if you think about DNA and four little DNA sort of nucleotides? Come on, this should be year 12 science for you, Nathan.
Oh, you're catching me off guard. I'm trying to think.
Oh, go on. I think you'd see. You should have listened more to your science teacher. A G for guanine, an A for adenine, a T for tyrosine, a C cytosine. So GATC, the four letters that represent your DNA strand, are those letters that you see. And the numbers are usually identify the position that it exists on a chromosome, or usually called a SNP. So, you know, that's a DNA profile fingerprint. And Orivet has some of those G's, A's, T's, and C's in different colors to sort of give you a bit of, you know,
make the reports a bit more fun and clear.
You know what I mean? Instead of just being simple black and white, and for those printing on a printer, just to drain all your color out of your printer too. But yeah, that is the DNA profile fingerprint. Very popular to confirm what we call parentage.
Yes, this is that magic word that, you know, a lot of people are asking about and they're wondering, what does it mean? What is?
Let's break it. Parentage that we define as, when it comes to the human terms, paternity testing, just finding out who your father and mother is, which compared to the other form of parentage, which is, of course, Nathan.
Is that ancestry?
Ancestry. So yes. It always is an area of confusion. Yeah. Ancestry is not parentage. Paternity. Paternity is when you have the mum and dad and you're confirming that the dad or the sire is the actual sire of the offspring or of a human, of a child. Ancestry is a more broad-based general definition of where an animal or a human may have originated.
Yeah. What's their genetic makeup? You know, are they, you know, part Greek or part bull mastiff?
Part gypsy, yes, correct, part Greek, part Bull Mastiff. So what people need to understand, the way a DNA profile works is these letters of G's, A's, and T's and C's that you inherit from each parent. So if at one particular position on the chromosome, or for the sake of listeners, we'll call it a SNP, which is a single nucleotide polymorphism, if on one SNP you are G and an A, you must have inherited a G or an A from each of your parents. So if the mum is a GG and the dad is a GA, this offspring's inherited a G from the mum and the A from the dad. Easy. If the dad was a TT, then there's an exclusion. So it's then the combination of all these DNA profile markers that confirm parentage.
That's
not just one. You don't look at one site. You look at the whole 280 odd that we currently offer.
Wow. I guess that leads to the next question, which is, why do breeders test for parentage, and why is it important to test for parentage?
Good question. You know, when you think about it, a DNA profile is just really like a micro on its own. It's fairly useless. It's like a genetic microchip. It's specific to an individual. Mm. No two animals share the same DNA fingerprint across all markers. Let's get that right. Yeah. So sometimes people look at their profile or their fingerprint, and you know what? Of the 281 markers, you may share 220 exactly the same as a completely unrelated offspring. It doesn't matter. It's the combination. There is individuals that do share the same DNA profile. You want to guess who they may be, Nathan?
They'd probably be twins, I would imagine. Or, yeah.
Yeah. No DNA profile. So they're unique. So what do people need them then? Well, they're used to identify that the individual is that individual. So if there's a potential, you know, case that you're trying to solve of whether an animal was somewhere or there was a dog attack, then you use a DNA profile to try and marry up to a particular other sample or a reference sample. So it's an individual thing you can identify it with. You can also use it in cases where, say, for example, you're inseminating semen.
Yes.
Ensure that the semen that you've inseminated is from the
right parent, yes.
Again, yeah. And then we have the main reason where it's used, which is to basically confirm a pedigree.
Yes, that's what I was going to say, that pedigree, that's the other P word, which is very important.
Stated on there is correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether they qualify and whether they do not qualify. And, you know, to some member body and state bodies, they do have a compulsory DNA profiling program for pedigree confirmation. Can you guess which state that may be? No.
Well, I've done a little bit of research on this, so I do know, and I think, you know, it's a great thing. So Dogs Queensland has sort of been leading the charge here, I believe. Queensland have been mandating parentage testing.
Correct. Shout out to Dogs Queensland, all their members. Yes, it was originally thought to be a, you know, something again, costs, but when you think about it, you're purchasing an ANKC pedigree dog based on that piece of paper.
Mm. And they're adding worth and credibility to that pedigree by ensuring that the parents are who they say they are.
Correct. And for a cost of, you know, discounted to ANKC members at $49.50, it's a one-off cost. And that's another beauty about a DNA profile. Once you profile your animal once, that's it. You do not need to profile that animal again. Doesn't matter how many times you use it for a mating. It's a one-off cost. It allows you to confirm your pedigree. It also is something that is beneficial to pedigree dogs because it's if there is any question about a pedigree, you're able to go back and confirm. And guess what, Nathan? It's successful. Why?
Yeah.
Because we have found that there is currently error rates in incorrect parentage. And in that group, I will include sometimes people put the wrong dam in at around anything from 12 up to 18%, depending on the month. And that is real data that we provide. So when people submit a parentage and they put in who the sire is, of course, when they do a litter of six and all six don't qualify, we have that as we take that as data. So currently it sits between 12 to 18%, and of that data is made public every month. That's there.
Wow. So it's important that it needs to be checked. Otherwise, you know, these things can fall through the cracks.
Correct. And let's also confirm here that there was a study done back in the early 2000s by the AKC, who decided to look at all frequently used sires. So they only targeted frequently used sires.
Yeah, stud dogs.
They profiled and verified, and they found an error rate there of close to 6%. And that was only targeting frequently used sires.
Yeah.
So, you know, what causes these errors? You know, I'd like to think that most of the time it's just because people don't realize that your dam has mated with another sire. Maybe you've accessed one sire and you've left your dam and didn't realize that another sire's got to your dam.
Yeah.
They're just truly honest mistakes.
Yes. And I think it's worth mentioning as well that one of the reasons people also do parentage testing is in those, you know, dual sire matings where you might actually have two, you know, males that have mated with the same dam in a mating period, and they want to prove which is the real dad for that particular pup.
Yeah, the real advantage in multiple size. And remember, you can register multiple size with the ANKC, but you must verify the whole litter with DNA. And you must follow an approved collection method. Great advantage too when you've got, you know, maybe, you know, a bitch that's coming towards the end of her breeding program and you've got two good size you want to put and try and get a litter from both sides. Excellent, because it still means it's only one litter for the bitch, but it's allowing you to access two sires.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And sometimes you might inseminate with semen that may be of low quality, of low motility, and you don't want to miss that potential seasonal mate.
Yeah, it's just every 6 months. Yeah, you want to make sure that you're making use of that time.
Use it. And most of the fun thing is most of the time multiple sires happen when you don't actually set up a multiple sire.
Yes, it's, yeah, as I know you always say, it's the dog with the, you know, the glint in its eye.
That's right. The bitch will tell you when it's time, you know, and it's all about timing.
Yes.
And it's interesting because most people that do try and do multiple sires usually look at a litter and can determine just by the phenotype that, you know, they believe they've got another sire. So, yeah, great tool, multiple sires, DNA profiling. In fact, it was originally used for that sole purpose, really. And as I said, nothing wrong with multiple size. They're not a disqualification.
No.
You just got to make sure that you do the whole litter when you're registering a multiple sire.
Exactly. Do the testing. And actually, that brings me to, I guess, our next question. We talked about, you know, DNA profiling, what it is, parentage versus ancestry. I guess my question is there an international recognized standard for DNA markers? So when you're doing DNA profiling, is it standardized?
No, Nathan, you sound like some of my member body groups that are always been posing this question for the last 15 years. You know, where is a standard? We can't have a standard. You profile at one place, is it the same at another place? Well, let me try and debunk this myth. DNA profiling simply sits in two particular platforms. One is called the Microsat system and the other is called the SNP or single nucleotide profiling system. Let's start first with the microsatellite system. Microsatellite system came about in the late 70s, in the 80s, used by a lot of laboratories, the original analog system of identifying and measuring specific sizes of DNA. The way a microsatellite works, it doesn't identify and give you a particular base like a SNP does a GATC. It gives you a particular length of DNA. So at one particular marker, you may be 122 base pairs and the other one 126. So you're inheriting a particular size. Now, when you start to talk sizes in an analog system, you are going to get variation between machines. So you might run it on your machine, Nathan, and you might get 122. And then I might run it on the same machine that I have, and I might get a size of 124. So the same DNA, same markers, but run on a different machine.
Yeah, different equipment, different results.
This is why we have what's called comparison tests run by ISAG, the International Society of Animal Genetics, who have been running comparison tests in cattle, sheep, horse, dogs, and cats for over 30 years. Wow. Now, what that does is it sends out DNA to all the labs that are involved or institutional members. You run your DNA on your Microsat panel. You report your sizes, and then what happens is your sizes are put to a reference lab and standardized, so everyone's reporting the same size. So then you adjust your sizes plus or minus depending on what the reference sample was. So if you've scored it at 124 and the reference lab is at 126, then you know to adjust your microsats by plus two. If the other lab is called it a 128, they know to adjust it by minus two. That's what a comparison test does.
So that's great that ISAG does that.
Isn't it great? But let me tell you, Nathan, nothing's for free. You've got to pay. being a comparison, being an institutional member of ISAG costs you over $1,200. Well worth it. You've got to attend a conference. Then when you're in the comparison test, you've got to also be part of that. And the reason I know quite a bit about comparison tests, I have been the Judy Lab twice. Shout out to George and Orivet. And the Judy Lab is the lab that prepares and extracts the DNA and then ships them out to the labs.
Wow.
For example, in the canine field, only this year, there was 123 labs that were involved in the comparison test. So that's Microsats, the analog system. Now let me talk to you about SNPs, which is the platform that we use and we call a digital system. And the great thing about SNPs is if you call it a G and an A, it doesn't matter what machine you use, I will call it a G and an A. So there is no recalibrating.
Right.
We simply run and give you a base call based on a top or bottom call. And again, we run them against reference labs and we just use it to make sure that we're getting the same call as the reference lab. There's no size differentiation.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of them. The language is actually more digital, easy to call.
Yeah, consistent.
The only issue, the only challenge is microsatellites has about 16 markers to give you the, because at each size you can get 4 to 6 different variations. Whereas SNPs, you have to run a larger panel. So, you know, currently we sit at about 180 SNPs is the ISAG standard panel. And because each SNP can only give you 3 different calls. So you need to run more markers to get more statistical variation. So ISAG is the organization that carries out the comparison tests, that selects the informative heterozygous, or should I say variable markers. They are seen as your governing body when it comes to setting the standard. That's
so
how easy.
Breeders can feel confident. They can sort of feel, you know, assured that there is, you know, a lot of science and there is a lot of regulation underpinning how these tests are run. So, you know, everyone's having to hold themselves to those standards and, you know, they can feel confident that there's a lot of science that underpins it.
And, you know, when you present your data, you get ranked. The only issue you have is if, so I've given you, what do you think happens if someone has a sire done with a microsatellite and a dam done with a SNP?
Ooh, I don't know. I imagine all chaos breaks loose.
Okay, correct. The system breaks. You can't ring a digital phone from an analog phone, vice versa. It breaks. So what happens is one of them needs to give in to go with what system the other lab has got.
Yeah.
So what Orivet does, if you've had a dog done via microsatellites, we will redo that dog for you at no charge using SNPs.
Wow. So the moral of the story is just use Orivet.
I didn't want to say. The problem you've got is that changing from a microsat platform to a SNP platform is quite expensive. So you'll find that most laboratories that have been sort of operating in the research university academic field since the 80s and 70s, have got a microsatellite platform. And the most of the organizations from the early sort of 2000s that have started to offer it got to a SNP platform. So I can tell you when I was at my genetic technologies days, I was using a microsat platform. But then when I moved to Orivet, we've moved to a SNP platform. So I've seen them both.
Yep.
I understand both, but as a scientist and the ability to communicate internationally,
you have to keep moving forward.
And in fact, the SNP platform doesn't even need to be part of a comparison test when you think about it, because you're not adjusting anything based on a size. You're making a call. It's a lot easier.
So we've sort of looked at the whole spectrum, really. We've looked at what is profiling. We've looked at ancestry. We've looked at the different ways that you can, you know, run that test with microsatellites and SNPs. And we've also said that it's working because the associations that are subscribing to it, you know, you're able to, you know, there are errors and it's good that they're picked up. So it's the right, you know, it's the right thing to do. There are real advantages to doing DNA profiling.
And for a minimal cost. So if anyone's thinking when you request a full breed profile, you also get a DNA profile. People don't see that. They all sort of jump to the diseases and the traits and what colours do I get, George, and what diseases do I get, but they don't focus that there's an advantage here. And I'm going to have a think about it, Nathan. You've got a dog that's clear of six diseases. You've got a DNA profile. That's the dam. You've got a sire that's clear of these six diseases, right? And you've got a profile. All of a sudden, start thinking here, my puppies, my parents are clear of these diseases. Where do you think it may lead to? So I've got to have offspring. If I've got a dam and a sire that are clear of six diseases, then the puppy
has to be clear as well.
Correct. So what we do is there is something called clear by pedigree and there is something called clear by parentage.
Yes, we hear that word thrown around a lot.
So please make sure when you're talking to someone and they say, my puppy is clear of the diseases, if it's by pedigree, remember there's an assumption there that the pedigree is correct.
Yeah, that the dog's parents are who they say they are.
Correct. And remember, I've told you there's an error between 12 to 18% in parents. So what we offer is something called clear by parentage. If you submit the offspring and simply pay $49.50 instead of $175 or $185 for a full breed profile, our system automatically captures all the diseases that are clear in both parents.
And applies that to the kids.
You get your parentage confirmation, and then in your report, your results appear clear by parentage.
So is that a specific, you know, field in the Orovet report? It'll say DM, clear by parentage.
Parentage, with a little statement under it. And guess what? It goes on generation after generation after generation.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. I mean, you hear clear by parentage used a lot by breeders, but you know, you still want to see the proof in the pudding, and that's, I guess that's great that it's listed on the Orovet test.
So you know, don't let's try and define. There's a clear by pedigree, which is based on assumption, and that's fine. Dam and sire were tested by whatever, and based on that, the offspring should be clear. But it can have errors. Clear by parentage has no errors. You've confirmed parentage via the system, via the DNA profiles. Once they qualify, the data is automatically captured from anything that's clear in both parents and submitted as clear by parentage for those results. It doesn't apply to traits. And no, I don't do carrier by parentage. People have said, oh, if you've got a positive and I put it to a clear, no, I don't go down that carrier by parentage. And I definitely don't go, and you shouldn't be, positive by parentage.
No, gosh. Well, that's a red flag if ever I've heard one. But look, I think, are there any other myths that you want to debunk about parentage, you know, before we finish up? Because I think we've covered this in this little bite-sized pocket bully podcast. Are there any other myths you want to debunk?
No, look, really, you know, if anyone out there, if you're doing any parentage confirmation for any of your member bodies or any multiple size, please make sure all samples are via an approved collection method. They will not be accepted if they are not an approved collection method. Don't be afraid to use parentage as a non-approved collection method to verify certain things before you sell them. There's nothing wrong with them. Be aware if profile is unique, and if you think you're giving someone a sample and you're telling them it's this dog, and we test it again and find that the sample is not the same via its DNA profile, you will be caught out. We have done this before. We have found numerous cases where people submit what they were told is this dog and get it tested, and the DNA result doesn't match up. And then when we run the DNA profile next to them, they're not the same dog. And that's one of the strengths of what Orovet does. It includes a DNA profile with every single result that you request. Full breed profile, single disease, it's there. And we do that as a control to ensure that if someone questions a particular sample later on, the DNA profile will match up. Even if it's a full brother and sister, we will find out. Remember, you can also submit parentage when you've got a single parent, Nathan. So if you just want to clarify for size, a potential sire, we can definitely tell you via the profile whether it's excluded. remember, an inclusion is up to 99.9996%, depending on what samples you've submitted and how closely related your pedigrees are. So you may submit me a full brother to a potential offspring, and I may not be able to exclude it. We do not say it qualifies as the sire. We simply say cannot be excluded.
Yeah.
We can only do an actual parentage qualifies or does not qualify if both mum and dad are submitted. One sample alone, the only definite conclusion we can give you is it does not qualify.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense. Absolutely. I think we've just gone through a whirlwind on DNA profiling, and George, you've debunked ancestry and parentage.
You know, and I'm going to put this recording on Orivet because it's a question that way, if people want to really learn a bit about profiling, what it is, they can just listen.
And if you want any other genetic questions or genetic tests debunked, you can message in george@orivet.com or nathan@rightpaw.com.au, and we can debunk some more genetic myths.
At least debunking the myths. You know, we'll debunking get a book out soon, like Nathan, I think.
This is great. Well, you'll see this on the Orivet website soon. And George, thanks again for debunking with us, and we'll be back again next week.
Time, anytime. Thanks, Nathan. Thanks, listeners.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of What the Bark. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a 5-star review if you enjoyed the podcast. You can visit rightpaw.com.au for your all-in-one place to find responsible, verified breeders. And you can visit orivet.com.au for all your pet genetic testing needs. Remember to stay positive, and we'll see you in the next episode.